Let the church say amen. Amen. God has been good again. We've entered into that new year once again, and we're still here. Someone said to me this morning, how good it is to be alive. God has blessed us once again. You know, you didn't have to be here still. So we ought to be ever thankful to God for that. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the second chapter of the book of Galatians, and the verse was number 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. From that text this morning, the subject is a new life, a new year, a new start. Let us go to God in prayer, if you will. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning because you have spared our lives and given us one more opportunity that we may come out and worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you this morning, Father, because your Son went to yonder's cross. He hung, he bled, and he died that we might live. Thank you, Father, for all. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the local congregation here. Thank you for all of the churches, but especially the local congregation here of the Church of Christ. We especially pray for those congregations who are holding up their bloodstained banner. Be with us all. Be with those men this morning, Father, who have taken part in the services thus far, and continue to bless those who shall come from this point and beyond. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all and everything. We pray this morning for those who are sick. We pray for those this morning who are not feeling their best. And we pray for those this morning who have lost loved ones. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and pray that you be with those families this morning. Watch over them and give them strength to carry on. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders in this congregation and for those men and brethren and their families who take charge of what we must do in order to be about the business of serving you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those brothers who have taken part in the services that just before this part. And thank you, Father, for those after us as well. Thank you once again, O Heavenly Father, for those who are raising their children, and especially raising the children in our neighborhoods, O Lord. We pray for strength that they may continue to carry on and that they bring their children up in the admonition of the Lord. We thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, for those who are without, and we pray that they may have the things that are necessary to sustain them. We thank you this morning for a bright and sunshiny day, even though it's a crisp day. We still thank you nevertheless, and we thank you for allowing us to be able to dress ourselves and come out to your house. Thank you this morning, Father, for those who serve our needs when they're called upon. Please continue to bless them also, Father. Bless the leaders of this world, especially of this country, O Lord, that he may make the right decisions and not make any decisions that would harm our ability to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Then we pray for those who are on faraway shores, O Lord, guarding the defense of this world. Be with them that they all may go home one day, O Lord. Thank you for everything, and it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask all these blessings, O Lord. Let us all say, amen. Once again, from the second chapter of Galatians, in the verses number 20, which we've read, we will be taking for a subject, a new year, a new start. There's always something special about one year ending and in the beginning of a new one. It means that God has blessed us for another whole year past. It means that we are approaching another year of getting older and hopefully wiser. It means preachers have had another year in which they had an opportunity to preach God and his word. But it also means that those who have made it through this year have had a year to hear God's word. I want all of us to consider, if you will, that it was not that long ago, and most of us will probably remember, it was just a short while ago. It's actually been about almost 10 years, but a short while ago when the whole thing around this time of the year, we were talking about Y2K. We were talking about, and many people had predicted the end of the world in relationship to business as we know it today. Some had come to say that there would be no necessities in life, such as water, food, and medicine. Some said there would be a bug known as the millennium bug, which would invade computers and would destroy bank records and all medical records. But when it was all said and done, guess what? Nothing happened. And you know why? God was not ready to destroy us in that manner just yet. But think, if you will, what if 2011 would become the year of the coming of the Lord? What if 2011 is the year that God comes back to claim us all? Would you be ready? Would you be in a position to say, Lord, take me just the way I am, or would you run for cover, trying to hide, in which you won't be able to? But just think for yourself, how did my old year go, and how will my new year go? Now, I'm not asking anybody to make any resolutions. We've already talked about that. You know, you break them about the second day of the new year anyway. So I'm not asking anybody what their resolutions were. I'm not asking anybody to make any resolutions. If you just remember back to what last year was like, and last year was just yesterday, 2 days ago, as a matter of fact. So you should be able to remember. You should be able to remember that if the Lord has blessed you from last year to this year, you do owe him a debt of gratitude. And you ought to say, thank you, Lord. Everybody just say, thank you, Lord. Because God has been good to us. So I'd just like to propose two questions to you this morning. Would you be ready if he came back, and have you been crucified with him? Now, this lesson basically is to Christians. But if you have not met God in the pardon of your sins, you need to also take heed to the message this morning. I want to prepare us or think how we can best be prepared to face the new year. And I couldn't think of a better scripture than Galatians 2 and 20, because look how it starts out. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, that's a tall order. That's a big position to be in. God has given himself already for us. And to think that all we need to do is just to continue to serve him and stay on his good side if we ever want to get to heaven. And I know staying on someone's good side is not always the easiest thing in the world to do. You know, we put things in our way, and then we can't figure out how to get around those things. But staying on someone's good side is always the best. When you think about it, when you think about what you've already been through for the year, when you think about what this past year has done for you, or done to you in some cases, it you can't help but wonder why, or what could I do to make the next year better? Can I make some better decisions? Can I pick the right friends? Can I pick the right things to do? And once you figure out, once you answer these questions, it can all be summed up and answered in the text for today. For it speaks of a life of a Christian, of one who has been spiritually changed. So we need to share or say to ourselves, I shall allow myself to be crucified with Christ. And I know somebody might say, well, Lord, does that mean I have to hang, bleed, and die just like you did on the cross just to be a Christian? No, we don't have to physically die on the cross, but we must become dead to sin. In Romans chapter 6, in the verses number 1 and verse number 2, it lets us to know that when we have become like Christ, it poses the question, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in sin? If you have died to sin, how can you say that I'm going to live a sinful life? But then in verse number 3, it tells us we were baptized into Jesus. And if we were baptized into Jesus and were baptized into his death, that's how we become crucified with Christ. And I know there are those who say, well, I've done my best. I've tried my best. But what I do don't always seem to work that well for me. Well, some of us don't give God a chance to work in our lives. Some of us, we are so caught up and we are so tied up in technology and at the speed of the world today, we forget that God doesn't work on that same kind of time. When you pick up your telephone, or when you, even better, when you turn on your computer at home, or with you, or however you have it, you want it to come on instantly and give you what you want right then and right there. When people are out in the street driving, they don't want to wait for red lights anymore. That's why these municipalities have put up red light cameras. And that's why people keep getting $100 tickets, because nobody's got time anymore. But I'll tell you something. If you don't take time, if you don't take time to listen and do the will of God, God is not going to have time for you in the end. And He's going to send you to an everlasting hell. We must first come to the cross. And when we come to the cross, we must see Christ on the cross. So the question becomes an easy one. What did Christ die for? And the answer is simple. He died for the same things we must die to. And that is sin. We die to the world of sin that we might live for Christ. We must become acquainted enough with Christ that we are willing to allow the old man of sin that's found in Romans 6:6 to be crucified. He must die that we might live. Our old man is crucified with Him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should not serve sin. When you think about it, serving sin, that's a hard job. When you serve sin, you know, do you understand what that means? That means for every lie that I tell you, I've got to come up with another lie to cover that lie. And before you know it, I become nothing but a habitual liar. I try to tell folk that when you start something like with a small lie, as some folk like to call it. Now, I don't see a difference between the size of a lie, but some folk like to call it a small lie. It balloons into what you might want to call a big lie. And a lie is a lie is a lie. There's no difference in the size. And God hates liars. So you should allow yourself to be crucified with Christ. Look at the text again. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That tells you that you don't have to physically die, but you have to allow yourself to be crucified in Christ or through Christ or with Christ. Number two. We should allow Christ to live in me. I've got to allow Christ to live in me. If I don't allow Christ to live in me, guess what I'm going to be? I'm going to still be serving a sinful Satan, if you will. After becoming a Christian, we must put ourselves on a diet, if you will. We must put ourselves on a diet and we must cut out sin from our life. We must cut out lying from our life. We must cut out stealing from our life. We must cut out evil thinking and evil doing. But to our diet, we must add love toward one another, patience toward one another, and by all means, we must add prayer. The last ingredient that I mentioned, prayer there, you need to have a lot of prayer going on in your life if you're going to be a Christian. You need prayer because you need to pray about it. Everything. And there are some folk who say, well, I pray sometime, but I don't pray all the time. Well, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So that means to pray all the time. Pray about anything that's in your mind and pray about everything. You know, the problem with some of us is this. We make rash decisions. We make quick decisions. We make decisions that when we look at them from afar off, they don't seem like the right thing, but we make those decisions because we want to get through this situation that we're in. And when you don't pray, you don't have the ability to ask God for what you need if you don't pray. You know, you got to ask God for what it is that you want. You've got to ask God, and this should be the year that we make ready for the return of our Lord, because we don't know when He shall come, but we do know that He is coming, because the Bible tells us that He is coming. It is no longer in me, it is no longer me that live, Paul says, but instead it's Christ that lives in me. That means we need to be in the fruit production business, that you can find in Galatians chapter 5 around verse number 22 and verse number 23, where the Bible speaks of finding the first fruits, finding the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And Lord knows some of us need some of those things. But all of us need them all, but some of us need some of those things more than others. These are the qualities of a spiritually minded Christian, and a Christian doesn't need some of these fruits. He needs them all. When you look it back upon the text once again, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That was a tall order for Christ to come down into this world, to hang, to bleed on yonder's cross, and to die for me. And like I always tell you, I wouldn't have done it. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have done it. Not for you all. And I don't mean anybody sitting here, but I mean you all in general. I would have just said, Daddy, I don't think I'm going. But Christ came down to this world. He went up on it. He was treated unfairly while he was here. But then he went up on an old rugged cross. He hung on that cross. Do you understand? They nailed his hands and his feet to that cross. He died on that cross. And somebody said, let's see. Let's just make sure he's dead. So they decided they were going to break his leg. That was the tradition. But Christ was already dead. But then somebody said, but out of his side, they stuck a spear in his side. And out of his side came blood and water. Oh yes, there's a saving grace in Christ's death on the cross. It saved me and it saved you from above all things, from going to hell, and gives us an opportunity to be alive forevermore with Christ. Christian doesn't need, as I said, some of those fruits. He needs all of those fruits. We must change. We must always remember that the changes that we make are not about changes just because I need to change, but they're about changes because I ought to change if I care about my soul. We must live as though Christ might come back tomorrow. And what does that mean? That simply means just this. Am I ready to be called on this day? Or am I going to say I'll wait until tomorrow to get myself ready? You know, a lot of folk think they have tomorrow, but you don't know how many tomorrows you have left. There's not very many tomorrows left. As you start getting up in age, you realize that my tomorrows are fewer than they used to be. And you say to yourself, I ought to try to do this better. So when I go back to the text once again, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I shall allow myself to change with God's help. If 2011 is the year that Christ returns, would he find your life changed enough? Would he find you living by the faith of the Son of God? Would he find you trusting in the gospel of the Word of God? Or would he find you like some who will be sitting on that proverbial fence? And you know, when you sit on a fence, you can go either way or the other if you start to fall. But there are those who say, well, preacher, I tell you something. I'm waiting to see proof that God is real. I'm waiting on the gospel of something or someone else. But then when you go to Galatians chapter 1, around about verse number 6, we have already been told that there isn't another gospel. There is no other gospel. So you if you're waiting, you're just waiting in vain. What are you waiting on? Well, sometimes folk like to procrastinate. And they like to say to themselves, if I just wait a little while longer, something will change. Well, you don't know what might change. It might change for the worse. You might find yourself still waiting and be going to the grave at the same time, and then it's too late. It's too late to make any changes once you are already headed into the grave. When God calls you and it's time for you to go, you can't make any changes then. You must make all of your changes while you are yet alive, while you are living. When you think about it, if God came this year, there's going to be a whole lot of folk who are going to be standing on the outside and looking in. If God came in 2011 and ended this world what that we live in today, and you know sometimes it might be a blessing if God did come. It might be a blessing when God comes because so many of us are so wrapped up and tied up in living a life of sin that we don't know how to get ourselves out of it now. So the question becomes, when He comes, how will He find you? Will you continue on just like you're going today? And I know that this may not be the year, I understand that, but at the same time, I ought to be living my life like it may be the year. If He comes, how will He find you? Will He find you as in Romans chapter 1 and 17, where the just are living by faith? Will He find you waiting and watching? Or will He find you trusting in the everlasting strength of God? Will He find you with a burned out light? Or shall He find you trying to change when it's already too late? Will He find you thinking that because you have a Bible at home and one in your car that you're in good standing with God? What good is an unopened Bible that you have, no matter where you have it at? What good is it if He shall find you and you've never been to Him or never consulted Him, I should say, in prayer? What good is it if you've never asked God to help you get along your way? And I know there are a lot of folk who like to call God only at a certain time, only when I'm in trouble. That's not the time to call on God. It's a time to call on Him, but that's not the only time, I should say, for you to call on God. You ought to be calling on God each and every day of your life. And you know, some of us, we like to plan things and we like to say, well, tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But we never say, if it's the Lord's will. It should be, if it's the Lord's will. I'm going to take me a cruise. And a lot of folks, a lot of you all in here have probably been on a cruise. Brother Carter's never been on a cruise. I always consider the fact that that's a lot of water out there. And I always think to myself, I'm not a swimmer. And what if this boat, and I know what they say, the boats are safe. They're not going to sink, but what if the boat that I'm on sinks? See, I need to know that when God gets ready to call me, I need to at least think that I've done my best, and I need to feel at least that I'm standing on the right side of the Lord. Never I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ liveth in me, and in that by my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can at least have a feeling that I'm all right with Him. Now, I may not be right with Him. I don't do everything right. I don't want to lead you to the impression that I'm doing everything right. I'm human just like you, and I fall, I make mistakes. I'm not standing so high that I can't fall. But nevertheless, I try by faith. Nevertheless, I want to live the righteous kind of life. Will I make any more mistakes in my life? You better believe I will. Am I through making mistakes? No, I'm not. But then I should be through with making purposeful mistakes. Mistakes that I do on purpose, in other words. I have to trust in the Lord. I can't trust in man. Shall God, if He comes, shall He find you, as I said, not having consulted Him in prayer, thinking only that you are right and that some other man will be right, only to find out that the end thereof are the ways of death. The only fix or cure that I am aware of is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to thy own understanding, according to Proverbs. You must not think that you know it all, because you don't. We can't be Christians in something else too. We can only be a Christian with no other name added. As in Acts chapter 11 and verse number 26, where the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. There's no other name given by which we can be saved but Christ. And Christ is the first part of Christian. You can't spell being a Christian without first spelling Christ. Is this the year that you become crucified that you might live? Or will you die standing on the outside looking in? When you think about it, we don't really have a lot of choices, do we, church? You got two choices. There are two places you can go. And my time is up, I know that. You got two places you can go. And I'm going to have to cut this off because my time is up. You've got two places you can go. One is heaven and one is hell. And we always like to talk about heaven more than we talk about hell. Because hell is a place of eternal damnation. And we don't like to talk about bad things. We like to talk about good things. Get at a party with somebody or a dinner with somebody, and they're going to bring up the best things in their life. They're not going to bring up the bad things in their life. Now, unless you get with one of those people who you ask what's wrong and they start telling you what's wrong. Now, there will always be those people, and sometimes you say, why did I even ask that? But that's not the kind of person I'm talking about. I'm talking about just in general, when you're talking with somebody, everybody will talk about heaven more than they'll talk about hell. And they can be the worst person walking the earth, but they're not going to talk about I'm going to hell. They're going to talk about when I get to heaven. When I get to heaven, we sing songs. We don't sing songs about hell. We sing songs about heaven. When I get up there with all of God's children, and this person, as I say, might be the farthest thing from the door of heaven that you'll ever see. But when you live your life, or when you try to live your life right, you're putting yourself in a better position to meet the Lord in peace. And you know, it would be all right if we had a position that we could take that would allow us to believe that no matter how bad I am, God will still save me. Well, that's true. No matter how bad you are, God can still save you if you go to Him. But there are those who want to do everything possible under the sun and then wait till they get old and then change. I can't live my life ripping, running, and acting crazy when I'm young, and then when I get 80, then say, Lord, I'm ready for you to come get me now. Save me now, Lord. When I was younger, I didn't want to be saved. But then I guess that's where, when we talk about wisdom, where people ought to look. And then the Bible tells us in the book of James, if you like wisdom, where does wisdom come from? It comes from God, does it not? Ask God if you don't have wisdom. And wisdom is a good thing. Wisdom means that you are capable of making sound decisions. You are capable of thinking for yourself. You are capable of doing the right thing and thinking it out before you do it. How many times have you read or heard on the news about somebody just went in somewhere and just started shooting? Then when they talk to the person after they capture, and they talk to the person, and the person will tell you, I don't really know why, I just snapped. Snapping is not a decision that we make. Snapping is not an alternative. Snapping is not good. We need to think things out. We need wisdom in order to serve a righteous God. We can't be righteous if we don't serve a righteous God, can we? I know that one thing is happening, church, and that is this. We're all dying. None of us in here are going to get off this planet alive. And when it comes time for you to die, you're going to be rolled into a funeral home or into a church house. And somebody is going to stand over you. And they're going to talk about you for a few minutes. And then somebody else is going to stand up and come up and say how great you were. They didn't tell you when you were alive, but they're going to tell you after you die. They're going to tell the rest of us how great you were. But then all that really matters when you're going into the grave is that you got Jesus on your side. Because I know that one day when we all come to die, and the Bible tells us that we're all going to come to die. Hebrews 9:27, if you want to look it up. And once you die, then we must face a judgment. But see, I want God to be with me from all while I live till I die. And then when I die, I want to meet Him in heaven. Because I read somewhere in my Bible that it said that there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more worrying about things, in other words. Because I'll tell you, Brother Carter will cry in a minute.
There's nothing wrong with crying. But when you cry, you ought to be able to ask God to help you get over your tears. And I know that some folk don't think that that a man should cry. But if troubles get on you, I got some news for you. You'll cry too. If what we call stress gets you down, you'll cry too. But you must remember that we serve a God who can get us out of stressful situations, who can get us out of this life, a God that we must be crucified with and allow Him to live in us. As we close this morning, once again, this is my second closing. As we close this morning, there's a way that you can become closer to the God that we serve, that we have the ability to serve. How do I get close to God? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But to all of those who have already taken those steps, but somewhere along this race in life, you've fallen off the track. Now it's time to pick yourself up and put yourself back on the track so that you can run this race with patience. And in the end, you can receive a crown. Do you want to dedicate your life or rededicate your life, whatever the case may be this morning? As we face into this new year, you ought to give yourself a new start as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.